It was, you know, I'm so tired of getting little undercurrents, but I'll tell you, I didn't see any of that this week. I didn't see any of that, so that's report number one. I'm doing your report card for you here. Second thing I want to say is we don't appreciate our wives enough. I'm from the Charismatic Episcopal Church, and I'm rooted in the Charismatic, and I want to introduce my wife, Karen, who's not. No, I'm just kidding. Stand up. Stand up, Karen. Karen and I just celebrated our 48th wedding anniversary. And that's it's really an amazing thing. And as I was here today, pardon?
She was only 10 when she got married.
Absolutely. No, they use hair color. You know. This is my natural hair, by the way. Hey, were you guys, did you like my costume the first few days? That's what I told Karen. I'm just going to tell them I'm wearing this costume. That's, you know, one lady I heard say to her husband, like, who was that? He said, well, that's Bishop Kessler. And she goes, oh, my God. That big thing on my nose and my ears are, yeah. But in reality, I went to dermatologist last week. You know, but, so anyway, at least today when I'm speaking, I can look sort of like me. But I'll tell you, one of the things that I noticed this week that made me make that declaration and remind each one of us how important you gals are is he just started pointing out different ladies, and you know a lot of you I know, so I'm not prophetic like TC. She's just a go-getter. But I'll tell you what, do you have any idea what kind of radiance you throw out? I mean, you're just so amazing. You know, when you want to talk about the light and the darkness, just walk around with that smile you have, and I'll tell you what. And if somebody should ask you, just tell them the reason why. But amazing, 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 amazing people. And you're another one. Yeah. I can't imagine, Terry.
I married up.
Most certainly. And Rob's wife, Rob North, who just did the reading, where are you at? What are you doing with this guy?
He has the words of life.
Whoa, whoa, whoa. And don't you forget it. But you know what? Step up, step up. You know, we all fall into that same debt. Like we're here, we're talking like we're the army. Are you kidding? Do you have any idea where I would be without Karen? I mean, don't say a word, Lewis. So you all know who I am, right? Yeah. Bishop Frank used to give turn names, and he gave me the name the Hammer. Dougie the Hammer. And so it really got going at a consecration we were at, and we were doing this afterglow in an upper room. And he's sitting at the table next to me. He just starts in. Like, I'm listening. Yeah, Dougie the Hammer. That's Dougie the Hammer there. When the boss wants something, he sends Dougie the Hammer, blah, blah, blah. And he's just going on, and I'm really mad. In actuality, Frank and I got along famously because he was a crook and I was a cop. Right? So, like, you know, yes, Frank, right? Oh, yeah, we're right, exact same page line. We know, yeah, we know the trail, right? So, I'm going to go to confession over this. So that night, right before I go down to my room, Bishop Adler says, hey, Doug, he goes, I got this thing that's going on over in Europe. And he said, I need you to judge it for me because I got involved and I'm too close now. And so I want you to be downstairs at 8:30 in the morning for this meeting we're going to have. And you will stand in my place and make the judgment. So I go, okay. So I go down about 8:30, and I'm kicking around, and not too many people down there. Also, I back into Frank, And Frank turns around. He said, oh, hi, Frank. Hi. He goes, hi, how you doing? What are you doing down here? And I said, well, I go, I'm on this kind of a secret mission. I don't know. Bishop Adler asked me to come to a meeting this morning, and I'm supposed to judge something for him because he needs to kind of step out of it. And he goes, I'm supposed to be in the meeting at 8:32. He goes, great. He goes, I know how this one's going to go. Well, what an amazing time. What an amazing week. You know, you get something out what you put into it. When you come expecting, you know, it's like you knock on the door and you're asking for a loaf of bread. You're not going to get a brick thrown at you. And I'm just so thankful to be here. I'm so thankful to know every one of you. Man, what a ride. What a ride. And I was even thinking about retiring. Are you kidding? Wow. No, we still got some work to do. So let me, in review of these men's wonderful messages, I'm going to give the review. The week began with Bishop Bates, who made it very, very clear what his goal was this week, and that was to encourage us and send us away pumped and refreshed. And so he began by saying, we can't not be happy. And I knew he'd been listening to my sermons. You know, my daughter's dating this guy, and her parents came out, and they were coming to church, and so I got all these, they're grinding me all weekend, and so we're walking out the door on the way to church, and Karen's saying, no politics. Jessica's saying, now, Dad, now, you remember, you're going to tone it down. It's just about Jesus. So, what I love to do is, worshipers, you guys are always flying high because you're in that realm, right? We're all to be worshipers. So my worship team will come in, and on top of that, I got a lot of young people. And I just have to repeatedly tell them, wipe that smile off your face. This is church. And I love his ending. This morning, it was basically death. We all die. All right, very, very quickly. Today's word begins with behold, and what that means is take a significant note here. I'm about to really drive something home, okay? But I want to go back and just look at the last 3 days for just a couple of minutes, and that is the end of my comedy. Now becomes the boredom, as my guys would say. We're recounting these 3 days, Jesus sending his apostles out on their first missionary journey, and he gives them specific instructions, direction, and he's really setting in force the commission and pattern for all future kingdom builders. And let me let you in on secret number one. They're not just in this room. All the people downstairs. See, the body's made up of many members, and they all have a critical part, just like Karen of mine. She is a complement to my ministry, and I'm just so thankful to have her. And I know you all like her a lot better than me. Luke records the same episode in Luke 9, and a chapter later, he expands it, and he increases the number to 52, depending on you, how theologically sound you want to be. And he sends them out of him, in front of him, in a similar fashion, mission, and purpose. But when he summons the 12, number one, he gave them authority and power. Now, who gave it? Yeah. And he can take it, too. And he can take it, too. So we're going to see that you want to be in a flow. There's a flow here. You want to be in the flow. So he gave him power. Again, he's very specific where to go, who to talk to and evangelize, how to minister to these people, etc. But in Matthew, in his reporting of the 12, he ends with this exciting, adventurous, prophetic word. We're going to talk about in just a minute. I'm going to put it on hold for the moment, though. The first morning, Bishop Bates talked about the cost and the price. More martyrs in the 20th century than all the centuries before them combined. Many a man and woman are lying out in the mission field somewhere dead because instead of heeding God's vision and direction, they made up their own. Often without counsel or under the authority of a parachurch organization, it's not the same. It's not the same as the church. I'm blessed because I obeyed him. He said, come. I said, okay. Whether it's 12 or it's 50, or it's us today, the rules are the same. So I want to talk about the rules of engagement here. Luke 10 tells us, now after this, the Lord appointed 70 others, sent them out ahead of him, two by two, blah, blah. It's very similar, right? But listen clearly here. Successful plans and actions are predicated on proper relationships. Luke, in his account, refers to Jesus sending the 12 out, but changes it when he's talking about sending the 50 out. He changes it from Jesus to the Lord. I thought, well, that's peculiar. Matthew says Jesus. Luke said Jesus. Now he uses the Lord. And in addition, he uses one of those terrible words, appointed. See, today those are heavy words. Not well received by the world. I got to be me. I did it my way. That's just New York. Now, if Jesus selected from all those others and he decided who got to go and who didn't, this speaks directly of the fairness issue. That's like the happiness issue. But that's not fair. Not everybody got to go. And worse, it speaks of that abominable concept called authority. Now, the reality of the message is that we're all called. People in here, the people downstairs, each and every member of the body of Christ. And that'll be my message for the last part of my ministry, is trying to initiate and equip and continually propel every member into that purpose, a divine purpose that God created them for. That's what I learned out of the pro-life movement. That as God's creation, every one of us and every one of them is loved beyond measure by the Lord. Wishes that all men might be saved. And that, why would we think that every one of us wouldn't be special in his eyes to the point of creating them for a purpose? And so many of them, they'll never, ever know it. But our responsibility, the fivefold ministry, is for the perfecting of the saints for the work of the ministry. Chuck, you got that down so good. You're out there getting all your people up and ministering to one another. There's nothing that God doesn't want to equip you with he says that the harvest is plentiful, it's the workers who are few. We were each created to be kingdom builders, and if we want to be part of the kingdom, we can plan on being called to help him build it. Remember, he left. And he gave us a great and ambitious future. We're called kingdom builders. And you see, the relationship that these folks had with Jesus and even among themselves is vastly important to their success in their mission. That's why we were so successful here this week. We wanted to be here. We were anxious that he would choose us. And he did. And give, and it shall be given unto you. Pressed down, shaken together, but not going down, but overflowing in his economy. No, the relationship was vastly important to the success of the mission. There's no time for bad attitudes. Why didn't my friend get to go instead of Joe? He's much more anointed. Hey, can I be paired with Johnny? I really wanted to be paired with Margaret. Scripture reports that Jesus decided, Jesus appointed, Jesus instructed, and Jesus sent. And if you're selected and sent, you're supposed to go. To hear and to obey. But are we listening? And as we see in this wonderful passage, and particularly when you look at the parallels of the three, you'll see the great success they had. When they obeyed the Lord, they were successful. And they came back with glorious and mighty reports. Today's lesson was, I'm sending you out. Behold, I'm sending you out. Yeah, we got that. We understand you're saying this out. Like sheep among wolves. Huh. Many great, great sermons have been written around this. Many wonderful interpretations and applications. But I want to tell you what I think, and it's pretty screwy. He says, therefore, be as shrewd as snakes and as innocent as doves. But Bishop Bates gave us the answer within three lines of his opening remarks, I think. And I took notes. And he said, without the Holy Spirit, we have no chance. Who in the world would just send you out as sheep into the wolf's pack? Jesus. Why would he do that? Because they're wolves. And that's what's out there. But when you go in his direction and follow his instructions, you come back victorious. We are more than conquerors in Christ Jesus. And I can do all things in Christ who really strengthens me. Yes, we don't need to be fearful. He said, be on your guard. That means stay tuned in. Stay with me. Stay close. And don't get out there doing your own thing. You know, people make life changes without counsel. I don't make life changes without counsel. I surrounded myself with a group of men who even know me and entrusted my life to them because they do know me. And guess what? you ever notice, we wear white clothes over our black selves. All fallible, all sinners, but still more than conquerors. I can do all things in Jesus' name. Normally, the shepherd would protect his sheep from the wolves. And he will. Yeah, it's a call to the cost of discipleship. That's another thing you said. Nobody said it's going to be easy. Highest divorce rate, highest suicide rate, highest everything rate, except remuneration. There it's the lowest. Man, when he got done, I said, why are we here? We're here because we were called. Man, you just can't do it. You can run, but you can't hide. You got to do what God's told you to do. Paul, as he's addressing the elders, he thinks it's the last time they'll see them in Ephesus, and it's found in Acts 20, verse 29. It's one of my signature scriptures we teach in our government class. He says, I know that after my departure, fierce wolves will come in among you, not sparing the flock. Some translations are better and said, even among you. You, the elders. Tough world out there. It's a tough world out there. And in Matthew 7:15, the Lord declares, beware of false prophets who come in to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. Man, was Jesus a prophet or not? This is a promise of difficulty and tribulation and persecution. Paul asked, though, today, to you men and women here standing with me, and to me first, have you resisted to the shedding of blood? Persecution will come in four areas, he tells in this prophetic word 2,000 years ago. Persecution from religion. That's the saddest part. Our own brothers and sisters are going to start alienating with other groups to imprison us and stop our message. In February of 2012, the Newsweek magazine signature story was the war on Christians. We hear today from our own president about Muslims as victims of abuse of the West. Now the combatants in the Arab worlds fight against tyranny. And in fact, a completely different kind of war is underway. A battle costing thousands and thousands of lives. You see, Christians are being killed in Islamic world continually, solely because of their religion. And it's coming here. Persecution from the government. Of the people and for the people. You will be dragged before governors and kings, he said. And it started with the Lord. It was the government who killed him. If you claim Christ, you've made yourself a target. John 15:18. If the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were the world would love you as its own. But because you're not of the world, but I chose you out of that wretched world, therefore, that world hates you. How can we expect to be persecuted? Well, the courts are going to do a great, great job of that. They're they're just rolling out these constitution-changing interpretations. The man who uncovered the horror of the selling of body parts in abortion clinics gets charged with a crime. And they go free. They'll go after your tax-exempt status, but oh well. And you'll be charged probably before my career ends with, probably I'll be charged with hate crimes for condemning the sin of homosexuality or any of that. But Jesus promises the Holy Spirit will direct our every path. And so we don't fear. Eventually, our families will persecute us. Brother will deliver brother, Jesus said. He also said a person's enemies will be those of his own household. But I believe that we can strongly resist that as we continue to build strong families. Every civilization in history has been built since Adam and Eve on the family unit. So, have you read Screwtape Letters? Well, now we hear them on the nightly news. Where are they getting these ideas? Where do they get these statements? Who told them that? That's why it's called newspeak. And we will be alienated a bit at best, and persecuted from society. Jesus summed it up, and you'll be hated by all. He's prophesying that Christians won't be welcome in the world's eyes. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians, we become a spectacle to the world. To angels and to men, we're fools for Christ's sake. But you're wise in Christ. We're weak. But hopefully, you're being strengthened and you are strong. You're held in honor, but we in disrepute. And to the present hour, we hunger and thirst, and we're poorly dressed and buffeted and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands. Bishop Simpson. When reviled, we bless. Praise be to God. And when persecuted, we endure. And when slandered, we entreat. We become and are still like the scum of the earth, the refuge of all things. See, there's nothing new. Oh, yeah, the goofy arguments and the thought processes may change, but it's the same old deal. And it will be until the Lord returns. Sometimes we get this feeling like it's getting darker and darker and darker. Read Father Victor's book that's out there, by the way. It's all about the end times. Actually, that's not true, but maybe you'll buy it if you think it is. But it's about the revelation of the churches that John wrote to. But it's the same today. It's always been the same. And it will continue until the Lord's return. And we patiently wait. We drift not away. Paul admonished, now I'd remind you, brothers, of the gospel I preached to you, which you received, in which you stand, and by which you're being saved, if you hold fast to the word. I preach to you, unless you believed in vain. You're not believing in vain. You're getting a good, clear word. You have great, great discernment. We're in an absolute movement of God. We have a great, let me use another terrible term, hierarchy. We have men we trust, we can trust, and your people can trust you. In Hebrews 2:1, we read, therefore we must pay much closer attention to what we've heard, lest we drift away from it. And let me just add, like much of the church is. But we shall not, and we will finish the race. And Chuck, Archbishop Jones told me, I'm even going to enjoy it. And I am. God bless each and every one of you.